Well, time now to talk to a very special guest, a VFA certified legend in Phil Cleary, former Coburg great. I'm sure most people, certainly my vintage, know Phil and remember him very fondly. Also a federal parliamentarian for quite some time. Outspoken, passionate about a range of issues. But there's one particularly close to his heart that we're going to talk about here. And it's a game coming up at Coburg City Oval, Sunday 30th of April. And it's a match in memory of Vicky Cleary and all the women lost to domestic violence. It's a very important and troubling epidemic, I guess, in our society, and one that I think we really need to focus on more than we do. Phil, very sadly, has been touched by this. His sister Vicky was murdered by a jealous lover. And we're going to talk to Phil about that and a few other things as well. Good to see you, Phil.
Yeah, great to be here, Rowan, to have a yarn. I mean, we go back a long way.
We do, don't we?
You were writing about the old VFA in the day, weren't you?
Correct. I did. I covered VFA football for the Sun News Pictorial in 1985, which was a famous year, the year Ronnie James played in the grand final as a 14-year-old for Williamstown.
Well, they were special moments in my VFA life because I'd taken over as coach in 84. The club was bust. We went to the finals in 85. We lost a prelim. We went to a grand final the next year. I was ordered off in a famous grand final. 20,000 people at the Junction Oval. My opponent, Terry Wheeler. I go to the tribunal, not guilty, but we lost the grand final by 13 points. And while I was off, it went bad. And then two premierships, 88-89. And in between was the loss of my sister.
Yeah, a shocking thing. And, you know, I know you've written and talked about it a lot, but for people that aren't familiar with the background to the incident and how it unfolded in the aftermath, fill us in.
Well, Vicky left her boyfriend of the time, who was quite a few years older than her, in early 1987. Now, that year, I played my 200th game, I think on June 7th at Coburg. I was about 34, so I was at the end of a career. But I actually had a good day. Played Frankston, kicked a couple, had plenty of the ball. And my sister Vicky was 25 at the time. So we're 1987, it's June the 7th. She came up into the rooms after the game. And at one point in that old mezzanine at Coburg, I turned, Rowan, and she was there with a cake with candles. I don't know where it came from, but to celebrate the game. And I remember I must have had kissed her on the cheek and likewise. And I laugh about turning and she'd almost blown the candles out before me. So we had such a wonderful time. I mean, I'm the eldest of six children. Vicky was loved. She was right in the middle. Mum's first daughter after four boys, one of whom died 2 days. Anyway, could you believe after all of that, that 11 weeks later, I'm looking at my sister in a coffin. Mm. She'd left a bloke. 3 months later, he attacked her as she parked her car in Cameron Street outside the kindergarten where she worked. He's an ex-boyfriend. It was a disgraceful thing, a shocking, profound thing. Go to court in 1989. He's found not guilty under the old provocation law on the claim that she had said something that might have provoked a man of his character to lose control and stab her with a knife that he'd taken to the place, and he'd accosted her and terrorised her, and he went to jail for 3 years and 11 months. So began for me a major campaign to change the cultural landscape. Now, 30 years have passed, so my sister's death is not raw, but it's still profound because my family and I, my brothers and sisters, we talk and we remember. And my mum used to say she would remember how Vicky might have died, the terrible pain and the terror of being attacked in the street. So, And mum, it's funny, Rowan, you know, quite astounding. I have a letter at home that my grandmother, and I mentioned in the piece I wrote, my grandmother wrote to my mum on the 9th of October 1961 when my sister was born. Mm. My grandmother wrote that to my mum, and we found after mum died in 2011 a letter my mum wrote to Vicky after her death. We don't know when. It's the most poignant, beautiful letter, and it's signed Mummy, you know?
Yeah.
So it's a sad indictment of male entitlement and the justice system's failure to properly respect the rights of women. But, you know, my sister is an inspiration. And how fitting that we had two premierships in 88, 89 that followed my sister.
Yeah.
You know, and I say to the players, I respect them so much because they took it in as well and understood the significance of it to my family.
So tell you fought a very passionate and well-publicised campaign against the provocation defence. Tell us the machinations of how that was changed and how the law stands now as opposed to then.
Well, that old law, Rowan, said, might an ordinary man lose control in these circumstances? And if a jury decreed that he might, they could find a man not guilty of manslaughter. Mm. But it was up to the judge to allow the defence. I took exception to the judge, who was Justice Hample. He knows that I took exception to it. I didn't believe he should have allowed the defence. Anyway, in 2005, the law was abolished and replaced by another law, which was again no good, and they've abolished that again. And now men aren't able to run a defence like that, although it's a long story, but there are still complications in the justice system.
Nearly 30 years between that case, though, and the law being changed even initially. I mean, why are the wheels of justice so slow?
Well, you know, our society has been born on an old culture in which women weren't properly respected. And if we look back at the old footy culture, there's plenty of old dark stories, you know, of dark stories in the footy background of treatment of women and even contemporaneously.
I think we all turned a blind eye to, you know, not just in a legal sense, but even the media probably complicit in that as well.
Without a doubt, and I criticise the media over the years because it was our blind spot. It's interesting, you think back, 1987, my sister was murdered. I don't believe anyone wore black armbands in the final series.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think we thought about it. We thought that a domestic, inverted commas, murder was private business.
Yeah.
But, you know, we now, the good thing is, Rowan, now, if a judge does say the wrong thing in a courtroom, people are talking.
Yeah.
People are outraged. And all the debates, you're a prominent journalist at an age newspaper, a well-regarded paper, which explores these questions now in new ways, which is important.
Yeah, that's a good point, though, isn't it? I mean, I think back to, you know, the judges, I can't remember the name of the judge, but infamous comments about garden variety rape and things like that. So how important have these campaigns been, do you think, not just in a legal sense, but in sort of altering attitudes at large towards women?
I think it's been critical. I think culturally it's been such a shift, and we need the footy world, we need popular culture to embrace the question. Do you know, I'm going to be speaking in Hume Council to five EDFL clubs throughout April, May. I think clubs like West Meadows, I think it is, and Chicana, which is Chris Johnson's old club, about gender equality questions. Like, this didn't happen, you know, 30, 20 years ago. So we're in a far better spot. And the other thing is too, you know, having done football, I mean, I love men. I love the company of men. I love the conversation. And I always say to men, we've got a triumph here. It's that the good men have got to be taking a stand, not turning a blind eye to language and jokes that demean women, you know. So this is all happening. We're in a better place. The conversation is far more sophisticated.
You mentioned it's been 30 years since Vicky died. I lost a sibling 22 years ago, and you're right. The passage of time makes it easier to talk about, but you know, losing a sibling's tough going. And you know what? I was thinking as you were talking about it, I mean, I lost my brother essentially to drug use, and that's very sad. But I can't look at it and blame anyone but him, really. Whereas you have this terrible thing about, you know, the absolute tragedy of complete innocence and having your life taken away from you so undeservedly. Even this far on, how much does that gnaw away at you?
Oh, anger at times, angry about the system. And that, you know, the other point, Rowan, no one in 30 years has said sorry.
Really?
No official, no government official, no judge, no lawyer, no prime minister, no premier has said, we're really sorry, not only that your sister was murdered, but that our system expunge that man of guilt. That continues to hurt me. And I've actually said to the state government, it's time for an apology to the women that we let down. And
Malcolm, how many are we talking about, do you think?
60 a year we're talking about. And, you know, it could be a dozen a year in Victoria. 10 years, what's that, 120, 240 over 20 years since my sister, what is it, 300 and something?
Yeah.
You know, and how many found not guilty of murder? I've been researching for a book I've just been finishing, looking at old cases. And what I'm discovering about how the courts treated the women in the 70s, for example, it's... your hair on the back of your neck could stand up when you read some of the judgments. But anyway, so...
What happened? What happened to the
well, he actually committed suicide, but
in jail? Or?
No, he was out after 4 years, and what happened was he had a girlfriend. Eventually, he went to live with her, and her house burnt down in tires, and he was the only suspect. It was an arson attack because she separated from him, and even now, the police didn't even do a proper report to say it was definitely him, but he knew the police were coming, and I was pressuring the police. I said, you've got to stop this bloke.
Yeah.
And I didn't enjoy what I was hearing from them. Anyway, they came to and see him, and he said, oh, that's Phil Cleary. He's always chasing me, you know, dot, dot, dot. Anyway, bingo, he committed suicide because he knew he was probably going to go to jail.
How do you feel when you heard he'd committed suicide?
I wasn't sure, Rowan, about whether I was happy about it or otherwise. I kind of felt like it was still unfinished business.
Yeah.
I'd rung his house, you know, and spoken to him, but he hung up on me. I wanted to catch him one day.
Well,
can I tell you that? Can I say honestly, I felt like I did go looking for him in the northern suburbs. I felt like I wanted to catch him.
Yeah. What would you have done?
I don't know. It was sort of figurative, I suppose, more literal. I wanted to back him against a wall and say, you did this and you got away with it, but you're not going to get away with it. And I suppose when he did suicide, some people did say to me, you got him in the end.
Yeah.
That seems a bit old style, eye for an eye, but sometimes it's hard to escape that.
Oh, I can't see how something as tragic as that would not leave you wanting, you know, a unquenchable thirst for revenge. I mean, there's no more primal instinct, really, than wanting to avenge a much-loved family member.
It was a bit of the old footy in me, the white line fever,
well,
I suppose.
Well,
so.
I'm sure it would have come in handy. You touched on, the legal fight and how you eventually were able to see sanity, I guess, prevail in a legal sense. Do you feel that is your sister's legacy?
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
She was such a beautifully, beautiful and engaging young woman. Like that story about my 200th game, who could tell a story like that in the world? How lucky I am to say, there was my sister with the cake and the candles.
Yeah.
So her candle still is still a light, you know. She drove the reforms. Now, people talk about recent developments, but believe me, Vicky's murder and the trial and what it did to me and my family and my mum's support for me, that was the catalyst for where we are today on the new understandings of the violence. So great woman, great mum, terrific mother and father, great family, and Vicky there... burning bright.
Yeah, I think it's something of which you and your entire family should be incredibly proud. Tell us the details about the game on the 30th of April. What will happen? How it will be commemorated?
Well, we're going to have it's Coburg versus Northern Blues. And what's great about it too, Rowan, is that my family were Carlton supporters. The Northern Blues are allied to Carlton.
Yeah.
There's a story that my sister was at the footy and Mike Fitzpatrick was running down the race at Princes Park and he kissed Vicky on the cheek. Now, I've got to ask Mike whether he ever remembers kissing a young woman on the cheek who might have been about 20 years of age. We'll have to find out. But the game will be at Coburg. It's on a Sunday. Rosie Batty is coming. She's on a committee. We're on a committee together with the state government. A 2 o'clock start. There'll be a minute silence before the start. The two sides will line up and there'll be other victims, survivors of the violence. Jane Ashton, who lost her sister in the Ramage case, more than 10 years ago, Grace Donato, whose daughter was killed by the Stoneham boy, you know, which is connected to footy.
Yeah.
I've been talking with her and hope her and her husband will come as well. And we'll have a luncheon and we'll talk and we'll walk out onto the ground, and I'll relive old memories, and I'll think about my sister, and hopefully it'll add to our ongoing discussion. But Rowan, it's free. So we're saying to the people, I'd love to see the ground full for that day, and that quietude, that minute silence as we reflect on Vicky and the women lost. And
it's a very powerful gesture, isn't it?
Look, do you know, Rowan, I think this is historic. I don't think we've had any day like this, have we?
Not that
in
I
football,
remember.
No. We have the McGrath Day for breast cancer. I think we have a day in Melbourne, a women's day, but I don't think we've had this kind of day. This is really a seminal moment.
Yeah, and you know, people will say, oh, it's unpleasant, but I think sometimes people need to be confronted by awful truths, and I think just that powerful minute silence and the presence of people like yourself and those survivors, it will just help drive home to people who maybe haven't thought about it much just how big an issue this is.
Well, and it's just after Anzac Day, and on Anzac Day, we remember fallen heroes. And I can tell you, my sister fought in the street against that man, like in a heroic fashion. Mm. Like, I've read all the accounts, spoken to people, you know, he had the knife and she was so courageous and sadly didn't survive it, you know. But so we'll remember her as a courageous woman as well, at a time when we're thinking about women's place in the world and we've got women's football. And so, yeah, big day at Coburg, where, of course, you know, I'll walk out onto that ground and I'll think about some of the great moments, and playing Dandenong there one day in 76. And I remember one day there, it was Dandenong, and you think of the old days, Eddie Mealy. Remember the great Eddie Mealy?
Yeah, absolutely.
Big, solid bloke. Now, in those days, people could say things that weren't acceptable today, and at three-quarter time, he said, "As for you little wog." You know, the little wog. Of course, the Irishman with the dark hair as I had then and the beard.
Pretty thick beard, yeah.
Yeah, pretty thick beard. I wasn't a little wog, inverted commas, and I know the wog's listening. I'll understand why I'm using the words literally. And I had three goals to three-quarter time, and I banged through another four, so I had seven, and it was a TV game. And I said to Eddie, as the seventh wobbled through down at the grandstand, I said, "Not bad for a little wog, Eddie. That's seven, mate."
You would have loved it. There is some great footage on YouTube of you kicking a bag at Caulfield one day.
Yeah, that's right.
In fact, I think you might have uploaded it, Phil.
Yeah, I think I did. I couldn't let it stay in the library, Rowan.
No, absolutely.
And I played on John Einsiedel, who went on to play at Richmond.
Yep.
So he played senior footy. And he did whack me that day as I tried to take a mark on the far side. And we do laugh about it. The game was dirtier, and it's much better, the game today. People can talk about the past. I mean, the flow of the game was nice, the old game, more, you know, spatially, people in their set positions. But there were king hits, and they were not nice, and I saw some terrible things in the old game, and I'm glad we don't have them now, and we think about concussion too.
Well, stick around, because when we return, I want to talk about some of those fonder memories of the halcyon days of the VFA. Coming up to 27 minutes past 10 here on 11:16 SEN. Phil Cleary on a very special occasion coming up on the 30th of April.